Next man up, 102.5, the game, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly with you, hour number 2, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly BI membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is NFL Eve. We are finally through the offseason. Tomorrow, Cowboys and Eagles kicks off the new NFL season. We'll get Chiefs and Chargers from Brazil on Friday. Titans getting ready for the Broncos on Sunday afternoon. We will get back into the NFL, but spending some time on college football. It was a big weekend of college football to start off the year, and we got our new AP Top 25 yesterday.
Shake up.
LSU, third after their big win over Clemson on the road. Ohio State, number one. I think that one was easy.
Yep.
I don't know about Penn State being number two. That's where they were. I thought maybe LSU should have gone over them just given the quality of opponent.
A lot of people still feel like Penn State has the best roster in America. Now, LSU spent, I think they have the second highest payroll.
Yeah.
To Texas Tech, is that right?
That sounds, Texas Tech got all the oil money in there.
Yeah. So look, I mean, yes. I mean, you're talking 2-3.
Right. At this point in the season, it doesn't really matter.
Penn State didn't do anything to not look good.
Right, I mean, they won by 35 or something against Nevada.
Yeah, I mean, they put up points. So, and again, each team will get a chance to prove. And it really doesn't matter anymore. That's kind of the beauty of it. If you're 2 or 3, it doesn't matter anymore. You're going to the party. I know you're going to get to the rest of the list. What I like about this list is it didn't overly punish good teams who lost in good games.
Right. They put the three teams that lost top 10 games are all still in the top 10. Texas 7, Clemson 8, Notre Dame 9. So, I think that's fair. It's like, you should drop below the teams that won. And, you know, Oregon, they took care of business against Montana State. Georgia blew out Marshall. Penn State won their game. So they should stay where they are.
Yep.
But you didn't put Texas, Clemson, and Notre Dame behind, you know, the next couple on the list. Like, South Carolina, I thought looked good on Sunday against Virginia Tech.
Lenore Sellers is nice.
He's really good. He's nice. And I'm excited for that Vandy-South Carolina game in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I think Vandy is going to go into Blacksburg this week and beat the Hokies, and you're going to have two undefeated teams facing off in Columbia in week 3.
That's an interesting game for Vanderbilt because you know Virginia Tech's got it circled.
Right.
And I was at Clark Lee's presser yesterday. He's an interesting man.
I saw that they were blaring Enter Sandman during practice yesterday. I thought that was pretty funny.
You talk about one guy who will be completely unfazed by that. This is Diego Pavia.
Right.
He'll just be like, turn it up.
Having been to, I can't even count how many Virginia Tech games, most of the time, the opponent gets just as hype over it as the Hokies do. Like, the opponent comes out fired up because of Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
And to be honest, Blacksburg hasn't been the toughest place to play in a very long time.
It can be a wonderful college environment.
It is. And if Tech goes up 10-0 early, that's when it gets tough because the Tech fans will be engaged.
That's what Clark talked about yesterday. Because I asked him about trying to wear them down with the depth on your defensive line. He's like, we got to get to the second half first.
Right.
He goes, if we're looking up and we're chasing in the first half, we're in trouble. He's like, that's not where we want to be.
Yes.
So look for Vanderbilt to go for it early to try to get on top.
Yes. I think if Vandy goes up by 2 scores in the first half, pretty much game over because the students will start leaving and, you know, the atmosphere goes from one of the best to kind of mediocre in the second half if the Hokies aren't in it. But that'll be a fun one. Week 3 coming up. That game, Oregon-Penn State's that week. And then, of course,
that's huge.
Tennessee-Georgia is that weekend too.
Which you're feeling a little bit better about if you're Tennessee.
I will say this, and I know people out there know that, you know, I work at Vanderbilt, so I keep my compliments of Tennessee very low. But I think they're underrated on this list.
Oh, they only went up 2 spots.
Right. I think they deserve a little more credit.
They were much more aggressive than I expected them to be. I expected them to play that game close to the vest and grind it out, knowing, hey, we're just better than Syracuse. But they came out throwing.
Yep.
I mean, slinging it. But the really impressive thing for me with Joey Aguilar, number one, the moment wasn't too big for him. But number two, he allows Josh Heupel to play a fast-paced game, which is what he wants to do. So for the first time since Hendon Hooker, Heupel's able to call the game he wants to call. And that's going to make them better.
Yep.
I mean, it's one game, and so I try not to overreact to one game. But I saw more from Joey Aguilar in one game than I saw from Nico in a whole season last year.
Right.
And last I checked, Nico's opener at UCLA didn't go too well.
Did not.
So, yeah, I agree with you. I was surprised Tennessee didn't move up more. They're 22, but as long as they keep winning, they will be just fine.
Yeah.
They'll get where they need to be if they win enough games.
It feels like the poll, and I know it's a poll, so it's not like it's aggregate of a lot of people's opinions, but they've got this second tier of SEC teams all in a row.
They have 10 teams from the SEC
right.
in the poll.
And I think the top five, you feel pretty good. I mean, like Georgia, Texas, South Carolina, LSU, Florida. Like those teams, I think you look at, and those are the...
Are we all sold on Florida?
Florida's iffy. The fact that they're 13 seems a little high for me. But I would put them above the next five, who are all in a row, again, 18 to 22. Yeah. Oklahoma, A&M, Ole Miss, Alabama, Tennessee.
Oklahoma being in there is shocking because they have not been good.
This is a big game this weekend for them.
Do you expect them to win?
Not really, no.
Okay, there you go.
It's in Norman, so yeah. I think that gives them the advantage, but I think Michigan...
I will say this. They don't win this game, the season spirals.
Yeah.
That's just my guess.
And you wonder if Venables is able to keep his job much longer after that.
Now, they brought in the quarterback from Washington State, right?
Yes, John Mateer.
Did they bring the coach with him?
Yes, I think he brought the offensive coordinator.
Okay. And QB coach.
Yes.
Okay.
So, Mateer's good.
That's a desperate move, baby. That's like Jimbo Fisher bringing in...
Well, it's Clark Lee bringing in Diego Pavia and all of New Mexico State
Jerry
staff.
Jerry Kill,
Tim Beck, Eli Stowers. Like, that's what they did, and it worked out for Vandy. So,
yeah.
If John Mateer can just make his Venmo private, he'll be okay.
I've seen where John Mateer is like a leader in the Heisman chase.
Yeah, he's up there.
Yeah.
And I think Oklahoma's got a shot this weekend, but I do think Michigan's a more talented team. And if our Big Ten homers are out there, if Michigan beats Oklahoma, that is not an indictment of the SEC because Michigan is a top four team in the Big Ten. Oklahoma is probably more like
you're right.
Seven or
now,
eight.
Now, it is in Oklahoma.
Right.
And I can guarantee you if Oklahoma wins, SEC fans are going to let the Big Ten have it.
Right.
So it just goes both ways.
It goes back and forth. We were laughing yesterday at all of the Big Ten fans saying what a horrible weekend it was for the SEC. I'm like, they went 14-2 and beat four power conference teams.
Yeah.
They had two bad games.
They did have two bad games, but you're not accustomed to seeing them have two bad games. And it's not always the bad games. It's who had the bad games.
Right.
When you see Alabama get pantsed.
It was your two highest profile brands who got beat and didn't look good.
Yeah. And that's neither one of them looked particularly good. And if it
wasn't for that late touchdown from Arch Manning for Texas, I think we might be talking about Texas as like, are they frauds having gotten shut out? And I think it's more to do with Ohio State's defense.
Well, we knew this was going to be a low-scoring game. That didn't surprise anybody. I did want to talk about Miami-Notre Dame, which was a fun game to watch.
It was.
And I have been, banging on Carson Beck for a while, and so I do have to stand up and say he played pretty well.
He did.
Now, he had a receiver make some plays for him, but he gave him an opportunity to make plays for him.
That touchdown pass is likely an interception.
Yes.
In most instances, but he made a ridiculous catch.
Yep. But Carson Beck played better than I expected to see him play. I think Mario Cristobal, and I know another coach that people like to kind of get after, but I thought his line play on both sides was better than it's been in recent years. They were more physical. They were more built to slug it out a little bit.
That defensive line for Miami.
Yeah.
Whew.
And I thought Notre Dame came out. What did I talk about with the Titans? You can't throw 50 slip screens and stuff.
Yeah.
And if CJ Carr is your quarterback, let him play.
And Jeremiah Love had what, 10 carries
the
whole game? It's like you got a Heisman candidate running back. Give him the football.
Yeah. There was a lot to me that was questionable about the Notre Dame attack on offense. I thought they needed to throw the ball down the field a little bit more. And obviously get Love more involved. But that's not a loss that'll kill Notre Dame. Now, they can't afford – last year they opened with a loss in Northern Illinois.
Right.
And then they
figured it out.
And then they made it all the way to the championship game.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think Notre Dame will be fine, but it does show you that Miami Yeah. They may be legit this year.
Yeah, and we've been waiting for it.
Right.
We've really been waiting
for
it.
Is the U back is the question, and maybe this year we'll see. Their schedule's not all that tough, I don't think.
Well, they're still in the ACC, right?
Right.
Okay,
so,
then
well,
there
I
go.
Mean, in terms of the ACC, I don't know if they play anybody.
I mean, they got Wake on the schedule.
They play.
Here comes Boston College.
They do play Florida and Florida State back-to-back,
okay.
And South Florida. In a three-game stretch.
Oh.
So it's like those three teams all looked decent this week.
I think there's a lot of people wondering what Florida State is right now.
Yeah. Was that a sign of things to come?
I mean, are they that good?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Maybe.
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 We don't know. I don't
maybe
know.
They went from two wins to national title contender in 1 year, which would be incredible.
Well, they went from national title contender to two wins in 1 year.
Yes,
so I guess they can go vice versa. They play Florida State October 4th. After that game, Louisville's pretty good, but after that, the only ranked team left on their schedule is SMU. They don't have to play Clemson. So Miami, as long as they get to, 10 wins, I think you'd feel decent about their playoff chances,
yeah.
As long as the losses are to, like, Florida.
That's not good for the ACC, by the way, for Clemson and
Miami not to play.
Yeah. Because, look, the winner of that game has a step forward in getting into the playoffs, whether
right.
they win the league or not.
That is true.
And not having that game does not help you.
And Clemson needs the data points of,
yeah.
like...
Beating Wake isn't going to do it right. for them. You know, beating Syracuse isn't going to do it for them.
Right. 9013 asks, how can DeBoer be so successful at one place
That's,
and so unsuccessful
yeah.
at another? We'll get into that coming up next. Alabama fell from number 8 in the poll all the way down to number 21. We'll talk about the Crimson Tide's tough day after this. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. This week, Vanderbilt travels to Blacksburg to take on Virginia Tech on Saturday. Pregame is at 5 o'clock. Kickoff is at 6:30. Vanderbilt football is brought to you by Gary Force Acura and Smoky Mountain Tops. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. We're talking college football. It was an interesting week, to say the least, to start off the college football season. 9013 on our text line asks, how can DeBoer be so successful at one place and so unsuccessful at another? And we were just having that conversation off the air of, this is a guy who's won everywhere he's gone.
Yeah,
I'm looking at his head coaching record, 113-17 during his stops at Sioux Falls, a D3 school, Fresno State, Washington, and Alabama. But he's now 5-5 in his last 10 games at Alabama, and Alabama fans are ready to run him out the door already.
Well, I get it. I get it. But, I mean, we all know Kalen DeBoer is a good football coach.
Right. He didn't just forget how to coach football overnight.
But there is something there getting in his way. Now, is it him getting in his way? Is it alumni? Is it boosters getting in his way?
Yeah.
I mean, is it the shadow of Nick Saban? That he just has a hard time commanding the respect of the players,
yeah.
because he's not Nick Saban. I mean, this is just me searching for answers, because he is way too good of a football coach to be 5-5 at Alabama. Fresno is not an easy place to go win games. He did it.
Yep.
Immediately. You know, Washington has a rich history, but he took Washington over and took them to where?
The national championship.
Boom!
Game.
I mean, he's a good coach. He coached good players. He had round one draft picks at Washington. He can coach good players. What the hell is going on?
It makes no sense why they've been so bad, and it does feel like it's a coaching issue, because
yeah,
it doesn't look like a Nick Saban coach team, because it's not like they're getting unsportsmanlike conduct penalties after the play, personal fouls. They're getting blown off the ball on both fronts. Like it does not look like Alabama.
No.
And you got Georgia coming up in 3 weeks. You're probably going to lose that game. Like, I mean, that's just how it is. It's like you got the talent to play with them, but Georgia is a better coach team at this point, and I think a lot of people would pick Georgia. Then Vanderbilt comes in.
I think it'd be crazy not to pick Georgia at this point.
Right. Based on what we've seen, you're 2-2 at that point and playing Vanderbilt. Like me and Parker said this yesterday. Like, if he loses to Vanderbilt again, I don't think he has a job on Sunday. And that's not because Vanderbilt's not a good team, but the reaction from the fans of losing
being 0-2,
being 0-2 against Vanderbilt, yeah. Losing at home to Vanderbilt, and being 2-3 on the season.
Well, Diego Pavia is undefeated against the state of Alabama.
He is. He is. I mean,
3-0.
Hugh Freeze knows exactly what Diego Pavia can do to Alabama schools. Adam in Portland asked, what would Saban's record be the last 10 games? Let's see. I mean, I think Saban wins that game on Saturday. Maybe not. Florida State played a good game. Thomas Castellanos played a good game. I mean, I think the Vanderbilt game, you could argue that Saban probably wins that one. Tennessee was a close game, but, you know, Saban lost to Tennessee the last time he was in Knoxville, too. So let's say he loses that one. You don't lose to Oklahoma 24-3 with Nick Saban, I don't think, last year. And the Michigan game and the bowl game.
That was not a good Oklahoma team.
I would say that, you know, Saban probably has 2 losses tops in the last 10 games. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was a player issue, but I don't know. I can't see Kalen. I saw the stat of Kalen DeBoer has now lost 4 games to unranked teams.
Yeah.
And it took Nick Saban like 8 years or something like that, or more than that, to lose 4 games to unranked teams.
You know, you always know when you transition from legendary coach to another coach, there's going to be probably a hiccup in the transition somewhere. I just look, if they had promoted a coordinator, you know, say, hey, this guy, everybody in the country wants, you could say, okay, he was unproven. Kalen DeBoer is proven.
Yeah.
Kalen DeBoer is proven. Now, not every coach is right for every job. We've seen that. We've seen coaches like Rich Rodriguez.
Right.
Hugely
great
successful.
At West Virginia.
And Arizona.
Yep.
Right?
And then goes to Michigan, and it didn't work out.
Yeah. Alabama.
Yeah. I mean.
Didn't work out.
I don't know if DeBoer is going to get through this season based on what we've seen, and that may be unfair, but it's just that's why everybody turned that job down. Why no one wanted to interview for it.
I mean, look, I think he's 2 losses from getting fired.
Yeah.
If he loses 2 more games this year, if he goes 9-3, they're probably going to fire him.
Which is crazy because any other school in the country, back-to-back 9-3 seasons, they might start building you a statue.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, who's left on their schedule? You said they've got Georgia.
They've got Georgia, then Alabama.
No, they are Alabama.
Alabama plays Vanderbilt.
Okay.
Trying to multitask here. So they got Vanderbilt the first weekend in October. Then they've got Missouri.
Is that
what
we're doing now? Vanderbilt to Alabama, it's got its own date now. First week in October.
First Saturday in October, Alabama, Vanderbilt. Tennessee.
Okay.
On October 18th. South Carolina, October 25th. LSU, November 8th.
Okay.
Oklahoma, November 15th. Eastern Illinois, and then Iron Bowl to end the season.
All right. So I would say Georgia, LSU, and Auburn.
South Carolina, Tennessee, too.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you could put in there.
Yes. I mean, they're fully capable of losing those games. But Georgia, LSU, I think right now he's going to be expected to lose both, right?
Yeah. I would say Georgia, LSU, so that gets you to 3 losses.
So he loses both those games, all right, and wins the rest. I don't know that beating South Carolina and Tennessee is enough for Bama fans to say we want more.
Yeah, I can see that if they lose both those games, it might be enough. But I think you can surely say if he loses Georgia, LSU, Tennessee.
Oh, if he loses 4 games?
Yeah, it's over. Yeah. Which is, you know.
Okay, I got another coach for you. Brett Bielema.
Yeah.
Hugely successful at Wisconsin.
Right.
Goes to Arkansas, and it's a disaster. And he's at Illinois, and they're knocking on the door of the top 10. And this is Illinois.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm from Illinois. I didn't go to Illinois, but I'm from Illinois. I am fully accustomed to Illinois being terrible.
Yeah.
Okay?
And he's got him 11th in the country.
He moved in and immediately put him in the top 25. But he forgot how to coach at Arkansas?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what happened?
I think DeBoer is going to be out the door by the end of this year.
I agree.
And I think he's going to go somewhere else and be successful.
I agree.
But, you know, Alabama is not a fit for everybody. And I said this yesterday. I think there will be a line out the door to take that Alabama job. Now that there's the buffer from Saban. And all you have to do is be better than DeBoer.
Wow. You know, I got a name for you. Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin. That, I mean, that's the easy one, right? Like, and he would take that job in a heartbeat, I think.
Oh, I'm sure he would.
The other one would be Dan Lanning. I think they would make a run after.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He seems he seems like he likes Oregon.
He's got a good thing.
Right. And he kind of...
Kalen DeBoer had a good thing.
Right. And I bet he regrets leaving now.
Maybe.
9355 says, we just had the conversation of Belichick not being great without Brady. Is it possible DeBoer isn't as good without Penix, especially in the SEC? But, he, I mean, he won other places, too.
Yeah.
I get that those places aren't Alabama. Sometimes I think maybe the SEC just isn't a fit for every coach.
Yeah. And, well, again, you don't know where the pressures are coming from.
Yeah.
And you don't know how many hands are in the pot.
Right. There's always stuff going on behind the scenes, and I'm sure we'll find out more once his tenure is over. But yeah it's not.
I would love to. I think Brett Bielema is absolutely the guy to talk to,
right?
And say what's going on.
Yeah,
you went through this at Arkansas. You didn't forget how to coach.
Why is DeBoer struggling?
And I, you know, he's not in the SEC. I think he'd be. And,
I bet he'd have a good answer.
And he's pretretty straight shooter. Last I checked.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Big weekend of college football. We got a lot of big data points. Texas, Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, Alabama loses to Florida State. Not as much of a huge weekend this weekend. Michigan, Oklahoma, that's where game day will be.
First weekend in September.
Right.
Vandy, Virginia Tech.
You throw out the records when these two teams play each other. Next weekend, I believe, is going to be the big one. Is that I mentioned Penn State, Oregon, yeah, I think, big. Is next week. Tennessee, Georgia, and Vandy, South Carolina. Could be a battle of two undefeated teams in Columbia.
You know, just think if you're Vanderbilt and you're Clark Lee, and if, these are big ifs, you win at Virginia Tech, and then you would, South Carolina's a top 10 team. If you were to knock off a 10th-ranked, 9th-ranked South Carolina team and get to 3-0, you're ranked.
Yep, and you've got Georgia State and Utah State the next 2 weeks before you go to Alabama.
And you've got Diego Pavia. So
right.
It is game day.
Excuse me, Oregon-Penn State is not that weekend.
Okay.
Georgia-Tennessee is... There was one other big game that weekend that I'm forgetting. Oh, LSU-Florida is that weekend. That was okay. And Notre Dame-Texas A&M, so yes. No Oregon, Penn State, but a lot of good ones.
That LSU Florida game's a big one because Brian Kelly's got to prove that the Clemson game wasn't a fluke right out of the gates because that's the first opener he's won there.
Right.
And Florida says they're different this year. All right. I realize they beat Long Island University and I commend them for scheduling such a mighty opponent out of the gate, but LSU will be tougher.
Yes.
I'm confident of that.
I was thinking of week 5, Oregon, Penn State, Alabama, Georgia is that weekend, along with LSU, Ole Miss. So we got a couple of big weekends coming up, but week 3, the big game, obviously, is Tennessee and Georgia. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back to the NFL. It is NFL Eve. We've got Cowboys and Eagles tomorrow. What are some of the biggest storylines heading into the NFL season? We'll get into it next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game. Tune in for the NFL Game of the Week on ESPN. 1025 The Game as the Dallas Cowboys take on the Philadelphia Eagles tomorrow night at 7:20. NFL Game of the Week is presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero in 12 South. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game. That is right. We are just over 24 hours away from the NFL being back. Cowboys and Eagles kick it off tomorrow. And on NFL Eve, I figured it's a good time to go through some of the biggest storylines heading into the season. We can start with the NFC. The Eagles feel like the head and shoulders favorite in that league. There are a lot of teams that are close. I think the Packers put themselves in that conversation with the Micah Parsons trade.
Yes.
The Lions... They won 15 games last year. They can't be counted out.
Two new coordinators, two new offensive linemen give you pause.
It makes you think they're going to take a step back, especially winning 15 games is not easy to do in the NFL.
No, I mean, for me, do I still think the Lions are a good team? Yes. Do they have to prove to me that they are still elite? Yes, they do.
Yep. The Rams in the NFC West,
yeah.
they were the team that gave the Eagles the most trouble in the playoffs last year. But Matthew Stafford, I know Sean McVay said he's ready to go for week one, but there's a lot of questions about...
Let's get out the duct tape.
Yeah, like, is that back going to hold up throughout the entire season?
The defensive line will.
Right.
All right.
I think the defense keeps them in games.
Yes.
But if you have to go to Jimmy Garoppolo for a large portion of the season...
you know, they've got Kyren Williams, they've got Puka, they've got
Davante Adams.
They've got Davante Adams, who doesn't have to be the guy.
Yep.
Who's the tight end?
Is it Higbee still?
Yeah, Higbee. Higbee's a good player.
They also have Ferguson. Terrence Ferguson, second round pick from Oregon.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, they did. They added to the tight end room. So I like the weapons there. And like I said, Sean McVay's a great coach.
Yep.
I debated picking the Rams for the Super Bowl. But the Stafford situation is what made me say I can't jump on that limb.
You can count on the Rams at least being in the playoff mix, pretty much no matter what.
They are definitely my NFC West winner.
Because of the defense and the coaching. The 49ers are kind of a wild card because they still have a lot of talent.
Yeah, but Kittle's going to be 32.
And he's
Ayuk's on pup. Christian McCaffrey's had a billion touches.
Right. And with the way the wide receiver room looks, if Ricky Pearsall doesn't take a big step.
Yeah.
Then Kittle and McCaffrey have to be the focal point, and I just don't know if you can.
I know Jawan Jennings from Blackman High School here just returned to practice this week.
Right, he requested a trade.
Did he really?
No,
he just got paid.
No, sorry, Kendrick Bourne requested a trade. I was mixing.
Bourne just got released by the Patriots.
He did. You're right. Who am I thinking of?
Oh, that's
then?
Right. No,
somebody
but he,
requested
no,
a trade.
No, because Kendrick Bourne, I think, said he didn't want to be there anymore.
Right, okay, so they granted him his release.
Yes, and I don't think anybody's run to the altar to marry Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, Jawan Jennings did request a trade a while ago, but
then he got paid.
They said they moved on and they brought him back, so yeah.
Well, got paid.
Right, yeah. So Jawan Jennings back at practice, but if your wide receiver room, the top of it is Ricky Pearsall and Jawan Jennings, is that good enough?
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
So they're a wild card. The Seahawks, I don't know what they're going to be with Sam Darnold at quarterback.
I mean, you know, look, for a long time it was Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, and now
they're all gone.
And now all of a sudden we're going Sam Darnold and
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah, and the remnants of Cooper Kupp.
Right. Yeah, Cooper Kupp making the trip up the coast there back into his the state where he played his college football. In the NFC East, I think that's where a lot of the question marks come. The Giants aren't going to be very good. We can put them to the
Their defensive line is really good.
Yes.
It is.
But is Malik Nabers is a really good player, too.
Yeah.
But outside of that, there's not a whole lot of redeeming qualities with the Giants. The Commanders are the big wild card in the NFC for me, because I think you kind of know where teams are going to slot in. I think the Commanders, if Jaden Daniels takes a big step, they could easily be back in the NFC Championship game. But we saw this last year with C.J. Stroud that it's not as easy to just maintain that upward trajectory in year two.
Well, I saw also people talking about, somebody put on Twitter, who will be the better quarterback the next 5 years, Bo Nix or Joe Burrow? And I'm like, Bo Nix had a nice rookie year. Joe Burrow's elite.
Yeah.
Okay? Let's have Bo Nix do it more than 1 year. And I like Bo Nix. I'm not criticizing him, but I'm saying you're discrediting how good Joe Burrow is.
Yes.
And so, it's to your point, C.J. Stroud had an electric rookie year.
People were talking about him as a top five quarterback heading into last year.
Sure. But this shows you it's hard.
Yes.
It shows you it's hard. And so I think a lot of people careered last year for Washington. It doesn't mean I don't think they're a playoff team, because I think they probably are. But I do expect them to take a bit of a step back.
Yeah.
They had a lot of things go right for them last year. It all started with the Hail Mary against Chicago. And so we'll see if they can keep riding that wave. I wouldn't be surprised to see them at 10-7 in that.
I mean, that's exactly what the Texans were last year, and I think that's kind of the ball. They did bring in some talent, like they traded for Laremy Tunsil from the Texans, and they drafted out of Oregon Connerly, another tackle in the first round. So they tried to shore up the offensive line, brought in Deebo Samuel. That doesn't move the needle all that much for me. But they did at least try an upgrade around Jaden Daniels. We'll see if it was enough to keep them in that NFC championship conversation.
You're still relying on Austin Eckler and, God, what's the running back's name? He's got three names.
Bill. Ja'Cory Kriski-Merritt. Yes. Kriski-Merritt.
Yeah. He's not one of my fantasy teams.
He affectionately goes by Bill.
But so Bill is very unproven. And just once again, proof that how disposable that position, can really
Brian
be.
Brian Robinson was their starter, and they said, you know what, we'll ship him off because we drafted a seventh-round guy.
Yeah, I mean, who else do they have with the receiver out there?
Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel. Yeah. They drafted Jalen Lane out of Virginia Tech, who I've heard has had a good camp, but that's all I kind of know about him.
No wonder McLaurin held out.
Right. They need him.
Yeah,
if they're gonna sniff the NFC Championship game again, you've got to have Terry McLaurin in that offense. So
you know, I just always feel like when guys hold out too and come back late, it never seems to really end well.
It's true.
Although Emmitt came back when the Cowboys were 0-2 and they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was that Charles Haley punching a hole through the wall or something like that in the locker room. I think I've heard Chase tell that story on their show. 615-737-1025. The NFC feels it's pretty wide open. Like, the Eagles are the favorite, but there's...
Like, if the Eagles or the Packers or the Lions or the Rams went to the Super Bowl, I don't think
anybody would be shocked. And there's, I mean, I think the 49ers...
Washington.
The Commanders, the Bucks and Falcons, I think, like, they're going to fight for the NFC
Bucks.
South.
Look, the Bucks are another one.
The Bucks, I think, could be in that tier with the Commanders and the Niners.
But, you know, look, I like the Bucks. I mean, I like Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I like the pick of Emeka Egbuka, you know, because those receivers aren't getting younger.
Yeah, and Chris Godwin already hurt.
And now you bring in a guy who's just a stud. And so, I mean, I think Baker could have another 4,000-yard season. And Todd Bowles knows how to coach defense. And as long as Vita Vea is there, it's a problem. And they're in a weak division. They could pile up victories.
For sure.
They went 0-2 against the Falcons last year.
And still won the division.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, you know, what were they, 10-7?
10-7.
I mean, so if they had actually taken care of business against the Falcons, you're looking at a 12-win team.
Right. So. I think they're kind of in that tier. And then the Vikings and Bears are kind of in the unknown of, like, is the quarterback the guy?
Look, if J.J. McCarthy's the guy.
That, like, roster's good enough to be a playoff team.
Yeah, absolutely. And how much can Ben Johnson re-coach this team after the disaster that Matt Eberflus was?
Yeah.
I mean, it was not good. I mean, believe me, I know. It was not good. And so I'm looking at, you know, the Bears will be better. They will be better, but they're in the toughest division in football.
I think the only teams that you really look at and say they're not a playoff team in the NFC are probably the Saints, Giants, Panthers.
Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys I think you'd put in there. And then the Cardinals would probably.
I think there's a lot of people who have the Cardinals knocking on the
door.
The
Cardinals might be in that same kind of tier with the Seahawks. And so, like, I think it's really 12 teams feel like they could be in the playoffs this year in the NFC. It's going
to
be...
Well, look, Washington is just the great message to everyone. You don't know.
Yep.
You don't know. You think you know. You don't know.
Somebody always comes out of nowhere to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
so,
and make a run. We'll
see. But the NFC seems wide open. The AFC, as it always is all about the quarterbacks. We will look at if anybody can challenge Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and get to the Super Bowl this year. We'll do that next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, finishing up hour number two on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly with you, going through some of the big storylines around the NFL as we are just one day away from the new NFL season. Eagles putting up a banner tomorrow as they take on the Cowboys.
The team will not be out there.
They will
for
not.
It.
Yeah, Nick Sirianni said he didn't even know it was banner night. I'm like, that's the point of you guys playing on this Thursday night. So they will not be out there.
You want to keep the guys focused,
right,
on the task at hand.
The season is over.
As
at this
hokey
point.
As that sounds, I kind of get it.
Yeah. So the Eagles, Cowboys tomorrow, Chiefs and Chargers from Brazil on Friday.
Jerry hit the boat. Botox big time. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, we got get up on here in studio.
His face looks like a mop, but his forehead looks like a dance floor.
Yes, it does. Not a single wrinkle on the forehead of Jerry Jones. Talking about the Micah Parsons trade.
He's a genius.
He is. And, you know, honestly, since it happened, the back stuff coming out with Micah Parsons, I still think it's a bad trade, but who knows?
Well, I look, he's talking about having 4 to 6 players for what he got, Micah, and I agree with that. And you can't pay everybody.
Yeah.
The problem he fell into, he overpaid Dak.
Yeah.
And when he overpaid Dak, it precluded him from signing Micah. And Micah Parsons, Khalil Max. These guys don't grow on trees. They just don't.
Yep.
They're rare.
A pass rusher like that is, I think, second most valuable only to a quarterback. And that people were comparing this to the Luka trade, and like I get it because it's the same city, and it's like tough if you had told a Dallas fan in January, yeah, like, hey, neither of these guys are going to be on your team by September. I don't think they would have been very happy with you. But like Luka, the NBA is such a star-driven league where it's like one player can change your franchise and make you a playoff contender. That Micah Parsons can't win a Super Bowl all on his own. But, you know, he certainly helps.
He's on a good team now.
So now he's on the Packers, and I think they've put themselves into the second or third best chances to go win the NFC.
I picked them to go play in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And that really pains me.
In the AFC, the Chiefs, I mean, I'm at the point of I don't think I can pick anybody but the Chiefs until they prove that they can be beat. And mm-hmm. I know the Bengals got them the 1 year, but basically since Patrick Mahomes has been in the league, if you're not Tom Brady, you're not beating him in the AFC playoffs.
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow beat him once.
Joe Burrow's record against the Chiefs is pretty good.
Yeah. Well, so is Josh Allen's in the regular season.
Yes.
So
the playoffs is different. And you're right. To be the man, you got to beat the man.
Yeah.
Now, I there are people going, it's the Bills' year. I'm saying it's the Ravens' year. And if it's not the Bills' year and it's not the Ravens' year, it's just never going to be the year for either of those teams.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the Chiefs' roster, and it's just like, it's not inspiring.
No. And Rashee Rice is suspended for like 6 weeks.
Yeah, the offensive line is okay. The weapons are okay. The defense is good.
Look, Pacheco, does he do anything for you? He's just a guy.
He looks like he's running
they
really
brought
hard.
Back
he just
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. All right? I mean, they're not impressive back there.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt is just a guy. All right? Juju Smith-Schuster is still slow.
Yep.
He is still slow.
I mean, Xavier Worthy is fast, but is he a complete wide receiver? I think that'll be something we find out this year.
You know what? If I own Xavier Worthy in fantasy football, I'm loving it because I would be if I were the Chiefs, I would be force feeding him the football.
Who else is he going to throw to?
Well, yeah, I mean, he can run.
Yeah,
he can run. He can make plays. They need to find multiple ways to get him the ball. They still have Chris Jones on defense.
They still have Nick Bolton, who's a really good linebacker. Trent McDuffie's a good cornerback. Like they've got,
and they can coach defense.
Right. They've got a good defense. They've got a great defensive coordinator. They've got a great head coach. So, you know, again, until somebody beats them, I don't know if you can pick against them.
But I am.
But it is. Right. You look at the other teams with good quarterbacks. Josh Allen.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson. Those teams, I think, are better. But if it comes down to it and it's an AFC championship Sunday and it's Patrick Mahomes against anybody right now, I have a hard time picking against Patrick Mahomes.
You know, to me, the difference between the Bills and the Ravens with Lamar and Josh, both phenomenal MVP-level quarterbacks. But in the playoffs, I think you have to say that Josh has played better than Lamar has.
I mean, Josh Allen got them, was it, what, 13 seconds away?
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen Mahomes hasn't done anything in the playoffs to say he didn't show up. He has shown up. He's been there for his team.
The quarterbacks who have beaten Josh Allen in the playoffs? It's Mahomes 4 times now.
Okay.
And Burrow got him once.
Okay.
I think that's it.
Yeah. And
for Lamar, Lamar beat Ryan Tannehill and he's beaten CJ Stroud. I think those are his only playoff wins.
So with the Bills, they need Joey Bosa to stay healthy, which is something he has not been able to do, but that's a big addition for them if he can be that guy, because the defense, clearly, while it's been good in the playoffs, it hasn't come up with the stop that it had to have.
Yeah.
And because you're confident Josh Allen will give you what it takes. Now, their receiving core isn't sexy.
It's questionable. Yeah. Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman. And they brought in, is Curtis Samuel still there?
I don't know. There's one other guy. I'm forgetting his name now, but I remember just looking at this the other day going,
Bills, wide receivers. Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, they signed Josh Palmer.
That's right, Josh Palmer.
Curtis Samuel is still there.
I like Josh Palmer, and as a three, he's fine.
But like Khalil Shakir and Keon Coleman is your 1 and 2.
Yeah. Well, Coleman, the big thing is Shakir.
He's a fine number two.
He's a good little slot.
Yeah.
Coleman's got to take a step up.
For sure.
He had an okay rookie year, and he needs to have a big second year. He needs to be the guy. He needs to show that he's the guy. Now, he had games last year where he didn't have a single catch. Okay, that won't work this year.
No.
Okay, so they are relying on him to be the guy, and we'll see if he can. Now, the guy we haven't talked about is the guy who I think is going to be the guy in the passing game, Dalton Kincaid.
Yes.
Dalton Kincaid was hurt last year, and I think there's a lot of people writing off Dalton Kincaid because he was down last year.
I'm buying stock in Dalton Kincaid.
I own him on both my fantasy teams. All right? He's my backup on both my fantasy teams, and I'm really excited about it because he's a potential flex. I wouldn't be surprised to see Dalton Kincaid catch 68 to 80 passes this year. I think he can be that guy.
I think that's what they're counting on, and that's why they didn't make a big move in the wide receiver market. They did bring in Joey Bosa on the defensive side, which Joey Bosa is not Joey Bosa of 5 years ago, but it's still...
He's always hurt.
Right. If he can stay healthy, I think the Bills are going to be... The Bills are going to be right in the thick of things again. Yeah. It's all about that one Sunday in January. Can you beat Mahomes?
Let me ask you this. This is not about a playoff team. Miami Dolphins. I'm really down on them.
Me too.
And I got people telling me I'm crazy. But what am I supposed to be excited about?
Yeah, I would not be shocked if the Dolphins bottom out this year. Not like top five pick, but
I think
like,
Coach is getting fired after
I
this year.
I think McDaniel's gone. I think Tua's gone after this year.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. We're thinking five quarterbacks in the draft, they may start over. And yes. I think they probably should.
I think that team, as it's constructed with Tyreek and Tua, and I mean, Waddle can be a part of the next window, but that group, as constructed, hit its ceiling.
Well, Jalen's gone.
Right. I'm not a huge fan.
Before we go to break, I want to ask you, there was a story that came out the other day about a GM or some executive talking about teams just paying guys at quarterback who shouldn't get paid.
Yeah.
And that, you know, Jordan Love was the name that came up.
Trevor Lawrence.
And if we have a chance, I want to talk about that.
Let's do it coming up next.
All right.
Because, we got time.
I'm probably going to say something that most people don't agree with.
Okay.
All right. And so we'll see.
Let's do that coming up next. Jake Kleiman and Corey Curtis with you on this Wednesday. Wrapping up hour number two. Coming up next, we'll get into that. Talk about some quarterbacks who are just getting paid to be average. And also, I mentioned earlier, ESPN put out an article. I'm not really sure what the point of this article was, probably just to get clicks, but they picked one simulation from their 10,000 FPI simulations, and it has the Titans in an interesting spot. We'll talk about it coming up in this final hour. Jake Kleiman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.